I had a great privilege to grow up with my mom. If any of you know my mom, you understand why I say that. Y'all remember the I Love Lucy show? They could have had, as great as that show was, they could have had a lot greater and far more funny show if they had just followed my mom around for a few months and took some notes. My kids do call her Lucy sometimes. And now Helen is Ethel, so the two of those together. I don't know if you know this about my mom, but she needs a lot of change in her life. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about change, change. Life needs to change. Otherwise, she gets bored, and she needs to change. In fact, as we were growing up, we'd always make fun of her because she needed to change the living room around at least every 2 weeks. And you're talking, it's just a square. So 1 week, the couches would be here. The next week, they'd be here. And the next week, they'd be here. That was Mom, and she's still that way today, and we really didn't have too much trouble with it. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a problem once our dog Sammy went blind. That was kind of cruel. She had meningitis when she was 3. I don't know if y'all knew that, but she almost died at 3 years old, and she should not have made it through that. Y'all know the effects of meningitis. It's pretty serious. But that has left her a lot of problems through her life physically. And as difficult as her life has been with all of that, she has somehow managed to keep her life full. You know how kids go to school and come home and play? Well, my parents go to the doctor and then come home and play. That's where their life has ended up right now. They just go to the doctor, then they come home and play. Let's go to the doctor, then we'll go camping. Let's go to the doctor, let's get on the boat. Let's go to the... Mom has made her great contribution to humanity, as many of you have, by giving 3 children into this world. But more than that, she raised us in the fear and the love of God. And then she set us free to find Him ourselves. Pointed us in the right direction towards Him, made sure that we were in church. We had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I would even go with her as a teenager to what we called soul winning night, where we'd go visit the people that visited church on Sunday and try to help them out. Mom was very involved in church, and she was a big part of what happened in that community. And it made a difference in my life. Some of you had a great mom like me, and some of you didn't. For the young mothers here today, I would say you have to wonder what your children might say about you when they grow up. And I'm sure that at times that makes you a little emotional, wondering, what will my kids say when they grow up? Am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the things that need to be done for my child to be strong and healthy as they grow up? So today we're going to take a brief look at 8 mothers in the Bible. First few are going to be a little bit longer. The last few, not too much. So don't worry. We'll get you out of here for Mother's Day meal. All right? I know Jason's sitting there calculating, so he's ready to eat. Can we check the air? It seems a little cold in here. Now, the encouraging thing is about these women is they were not only known for their good characteristics, but they were also not perfect. And I don't know about you, but as a father, I would imagine that you would probably feel the same way, mothers, that there are times in my life that I need to know that kids grow up and the dad wasn't perfect, but they still grew up and they got things together and it worked. And it's encouraging for us to see that, yes, there are these great qualities that some moms in the Bible had, but there's also qualities that weren't so great that these very same moms had, and the kids turned out okay. That's always encouraging, isn't it? Well, first let's talk about Eve. Genesis chapter 1-4 is where you can find Eve. You all know of Eve. You've heard of Eve, Adam and Eve. And Eve is known as the life giver. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Adam named his wife Eve. He gave her this name because Eve would be the mother of everyone who ever lived. That's pretty interesting. What does that mean? Eve is your mama. Eve is your grandma, great, 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 about 175 grandmas ago. Let that sink in. Probably about 175 grandmas, somewhere between there and 200. That's all there was between you and Eve. She's your great, great, I guess, 175 times ago, grandma. That's interesting. It's good to know. And here's the cool thing about it, is we all came from the same place. That's cool, isn't it? Mothers have been given the ability to make the greatest contribution to the planet, babies. We live in a world that seems to have forgotten how great this ability to have babies is. We've laid it aside as though it's a nuisance. The amazing process of creating another human being is way undersold. The concept that you could affect generations to come by simply having a baby. And what's frustrating is, and you're going to know this pretty quickly, Zach, it used to be pretty free. It's not anymore, is it? But it's one of those things that if you had to, God just gave you the ability like He gave the animals. Only we're creating souls. Moms are creating souls as they give birth to these babies. And the concept that you could affect generations to come, when you stop and think about it, Eve gave birth to her babies. She had a family. And here we are, the whole world, 6,000 years later. That's amazing. She had a dark side though, didn't she? She also is known as the life taker. Eve also gave every one of us the seed of sin. And she passed that down to us. She fell into temptation. The very same temptation that every woman goes through today is the same temptation that Eve fell into. And that temptation is this: God is withholding from me. He's not giving me everything. God is holding back something from me. And she was tempted and she partook of that which God was withholding from her. Here's the interesting thing, ladies. Adam sinned because he was afraid of losing what he had. What was he afraid of losing? Eve. Eve was willing to throw Adam off the bus and go after something she didn't have. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? It says a little bit. Apply that as you want. But because of Eve, her sin, Eve faced great pain in her life. Perhaps one of the greatest pains she experienced was when her own son, one of her sons, killed another son. Cain killed Abel, the first murder. Can you imagine the pain that she felt? Boy, don't you know she felt like a failure at that moment. Now, as Eve discovered, there is great risk in giving life, that those that you give life to may one day cause you pain. And I'm sure some of the moms here today have understood that. The pain of giving birth to somebody and they messed up. They didn't do things right. Now some of you experienced that pain, and the sin of Adam, the sin of Eve has been passed down to us, and that's why we need Jesus on the cross. That's why we need what He's got. Another mom that we want to talk about this morning, Sarah. These next few ladies that we're going to talk about, y'all have always heard Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Those three go together. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? Because that's the beginning of Israel. Well, you know, those men had wives. Sarah was Abraham's wife, and she was the hope bearer. Why did she bring hope? Well, God had promised Isaac that and Sarah that they would have a son who would be the father of a great nation. What was his name? Abraham. And Sarah was barren. She had no children at 89 years old. Imagine, 89 years old, and she had no children, and God had promised that He would give them a child that would be the father of a great nation. She finally gave birth to Abraham at 90 years old. God's timing is involved in everything. that His people do. And when you turn your life over to Him, you've got to remember that He may have a promise for you, but you've got to remember that it's not going to come to pass until the right timing. And that's what she found out. If Abraham, think about this, if Abraham had been born too early, that would have messed up everything in the timing that was going to come to pass in the next few thousand years. Everything from Egypt, the Israelites in Egypt, all the way to Jesus dying on the cross at the exact specific time, was leaning on whether or not Abraham was born by Sarah at the right time. So she had to wait until she was like 90 years old before she had a baby, because thousands of years later would be affected by this one decision. And I wonder how many things in our lives we've been waiting and waiting and waiting on God to do in our lives, and we don't realize that His timing for the future is involved in this. And some of you probably are wondering, why did I have this kid? I wasn't planning on this kid. Well, guess what? God was. And even if he or she came because of a mess in your life, God can take that and make something beautiful out of it for the rest of your life, or for the rest of that child's life, or even for the world, to make a difference in the world. Pretty cool, isn't it? You know, I look back on this church and God's timing being involved in so many things, and I think about our church and how God has been involved in our church for His timing purposes. And you've got to remember that there's great hope in God's timing when He does things. Through the years, we've had people that have been a part of our church that they quit believing because it's taken so long to see what God has planned to come to pass. God's timing. We've had people, other ministers even, not growing the way it should be growing, not fast enough. And they'll tell stories. Well, this guy over here, he started a church, and they're already at 300, and they've only been going at it for a couple of years. Well, okay. God's timing. Sarah had to wait till she was 90 years old before it came to pass. God's timing. Sarah is also known to be the laugher. She's a great hope bearer, but she's also the laugher. I know that is improper English, but it's okay. She's the laugher. She laughed at God. You ever laugh at God? Worse than that, she laughed and God heard her. Let me read it. She didn't know He heard her sarcastically laughing. It says, so she laughed and said to herself, "Now I'm worn out and my husband is old. Will I really know such happiness?" God had just told her, "Look, you're going to have a baby." And she's like, "Look at this. I'm a worn out old lady. What's wrong with you?" She laughed, and the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" Pretty funny. Does she doubt that she can have a child in her old age? I am God. I am the Lord. There is nothing too difficult for me. I'll come back next year at the time I promised, and Sarah will already have a son. Sarah was so frightened that she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." And God said, "Yes, you did." Not smart to lie to God. Now, some of you have felt like your whole life is on a holding pattern. You felt like, when is it going to happen? When is it going to come to pass? Waiting and waiting, and it feels like God has forgotten about you. It feels like everybody else, especially when you get on Facebook and you read how everybody else is being given something by God, and God's doing something for somebody else, and you feel like, man, where is He in my life? What's He doing in my life? What is going on? Why is this taking so long? I'm waiting. I'm in this holding pattern, and I'm frustrated. And then God comes along and says, "It's done. It's done. It's going to come to pass." Now, here's the important thing. Sarah had to continue to sleep with Abraham until she was like 90 years old. And for Abraham's sake, I hope it got done after that. Amen? That's called faith. Now, you can imagine Abraham's over there, And God's like, hey, you guys are going to have a baby. And man's like, oh, good. That'll be fun. He looks over at her. Let's go find the tent. Now, I'm being very practical here. They had to do this in order for there to be a baby. Right? That's called faith. God was not going to give her the baby like He did for Mary, the Immaculate Conception. He expected these two. She had faith. Even though she laughed, she had faith. And she believed. Why are we having church today? Because we have faith. We keep doing things until one day God makes it happen. You stay at it. You stay true to what you know you're supposed to be doing until God brings things to pass. But you know what? Most people give up. A lot of people give up. A lot of people give in. They lose faith. They lose hope. And I'm telling you, today there's faith or there's hope. Therefore, respond in faith. Faith is the action that you have based on your belief and based on your hope. What is it that you've been waiting for God to bring to pass? Trust Him and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing until it comes to pass. Rebecca, let's take a look at Rebecca. Rebecca is also a hope bearer. She was barren, but she had twins eventually. Who was Rebecca's husband? Anybody remember? Isaac? That's right. She had the same problem, though. It was a timing issue. So she had to have the babies at the right time in order for everything in history to fall into place, just like Sarah had to. She thought it was God's judgment on her, but it wasn't. It was a timing issue. How many times do we think because God has not done what we thought He should do at this moment that we thought it was His judgment? But it wasn't. It was timing. One of her sons, Jacob, is still in the news every day of our lives to this day. And she was barren for so many years, and one of her sons is still in the news today, every day. You know what his name is? Used to be Jacob, but now it's... And she was barren. And here we are, thousands of years later, and we're still talking about the guy. Isn't that amazing? Rebecca was also known as a great manipulator. Some of us might have the gift of manipulation. If you do, let's come up and let's repent of it now, because we got to deal with it. No, please don't. Stay in your chair. She tried to manipulate God and she tried to manipulate her husband. It is a wonderful story. We're going to be going through some of these stories in the coming months, so I won't go too far into it today. But it's an absolutely amazing story. She manipulated her husband into giving Jacob the second born. They were twins. He came out second. Into giving him the birthright blessing. She manipulated her husband into doing that. And because of that, she faced horrible pain for the rest of her life. The son that she loved so much, Jacob, had to go away. Otherwise, his brother was going to kill him, and possibly his dad. They were so mad because of the way it went down. He had to go away, and she never got to see her son ever again. What a sad story, wasn't it? So here's this great hope bearer. Here's this wonderful woman. But yet, she didn't trust God enough for God to take care of things. And so she never got to see her son again. Here's the thing. Rebecca could have had it all. But her fear of losing, or her fear of not getting it all, caused her to be a manipulative person. But she brings hope to us. Even though, because God has a plan, and it's going to get seen, it's going to get done. You just got to trust Him through it. Let's look at Rachel. One of the great attributes of Rachel is she was captivating. Y'all know what that word is? I mean, she's just captivating. When Jacob first saw her, when Jacob met her, all right, so Jacob, who is Israel, when he first met her, he couldn't take his eyes off of her. He couldn't stop thinking about her. He immediately had to go find her father and ask him, how can I have your daughter for my wife? And the father told him, you got to work for me for 7 years. Okay, no problem. I will work for you for 7 years. So Jacob went to work. Now listen, this is what a captivating woman does. A captivating woman gets her husband to work. No amens on that one? Listen, ladies, if you're captivating, your husband will go to work for you. I'm very excited about that, are you? I don't know if you know this, ladies, but it's not working out very well in our community. When the guy thinks that the woman is going to work for him, guess what? He'll let her. Be careful. We don't like to work as much as you think we do, but we will work for you. Right, guys? We'll work to put food on the table because you're captivating. And Jacob met Rachel. Man, he went to work for 7 years. After that 7 years was up, what happened? This is a wonderful story. And boy, we're going to have fun with this summer. But she had an ugly sister named Leah. All right? She had weak eyes, they say. She was just ugly. And this is what the Bible says, not me. All right? And her dad, Laban, gave Leah, put a big veil on her so that Jacob couldn't see that she was the one he was marrying. He tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. And they got married. The next morning he wakes up and he's like, where'd you come from? Why are you here? So he goes to Laban. He's like, what is wrong with you? You gave me the wrong daughter. He says, not my fault, not my problem. That's your problem. She's the firstborn. That's who I'm supposed to give you. He says, well, what do I have to do to have your next one, Rachel? The one that I love, the one that I'm captivated by. He says, you work another 7 years for me and I'll give her to you now. So he did. Gave him to her. Now, here's the thing. Leah went on to have 10 boys. We don't know how many girls. 10 boys, which made up 10 of the tribes of Israel. And Rachel was barren for a while. And she ended up having 2, though. Joseph and Benjamin. For so long, Rachel looked at Leah and thought that Leah was blessed and she thought she was cursed. But God greatly used Joseph to preserve the lineage of Israel and ultimately allowed Jesus to be there. Because Judah was from Leah, and Judah is the lineage of Christ. And Judah, at some point, was going to need to be fed. And so Joseph was used by God to go into Egypt and set things up so that the Israelites could be taken care of. So it's really interesting when you stop and see God's timing, God's plan, God's purpose, and you just got to trust Him. But see, Rachel was also known for bad naming. When she was giving birth to her second, she was in so much pain, she actually died from giving birth to Benjamin. And here's what it says. Rachel died while giving birth to the son. Before dying, she named the boy Benoni, but Jacob called him Benjamin. So Benoni means son of my suffering. Benjamin means favorite son. So get this in mind. In her pain, she was going to give her son the mark on his life that said, this boy is nothing but pain. Her last decision in her life was giving a bad name to her son. Her last decision was to pass her pain down to her child. And this is not a good decision. Fortunately, her husband said, no, we're going to change the name to Benjamin, my favorite son. Now, some moms have faced so much pain in their life that they end up passing it down to their kids. But Rachel, she was captivating and she was a wonderful woman, but she had so much pain in the end, she made this bad decision to pass it down to her kids. And that's something we've got to be careful of. You see, we can go throughout the whole Bible and read these stories and learn so much from the mothers that were there. Not just the good, but the bad as well. And we can avoid those things in our lives. And listen, that's one of the reasons why we have church every week. And I talk to some of our folks about this all the time, the ones that hardly get to come and they're struggling in their lives. And I'll talk to them about how important it is you come here to learn what happened in the Bible so that you can get some wisdom about people and about relationships. If you want to have a good marriage, what happens? You come to church week after week after week after week and you learn how to have a good marriage. It's kind of, if you don't do that, it's kind of like you saying, okay, we're going to get married and we're going out into the desert to live. And no, there's no water there, but we're going to be healthy and safe and do great. It doesn't work that way. You got to have water. And so this kind of stuff brings water into your life. It's wisdom. It's direction. There's some other ladies that, I hope you go and read. Jochebed, she was the risk taker. She was the mother of Moses, you know, where she took the risk and she put her baby, imagine putting your son in a basket and letting him float away and believing that there was a better hope for him to do that than keeping him at your house because he was going to be killed. Naomi, she was a mentor. Ladies, please listen to this one. She was a great mentor to her daughters-in-law, especially to Ruth. And God taught her how to be captivating and lovely herself. And she was able to pass that on to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. It's an amazing story. Hannah, I called her the cord-cutting, praying mother. And if you're wondering how to cut the cord and let your kid go, read about this woman. She was able to turn her son over to the high priest Eli and let her son be raised in the temple because she had committed him and dedicated this child to the Lord. And I'm not saying that I want your kids to come live with me. Amen. But you can turn him over to the Lord as Matt and Tiffany did this morning. And you can be a woman of prayer. Mary brought many to Jesus. Actually, she brought Jesus to many. She gave Jesus to all of us. A woman that had the privilege of having God Himself live inside of her. What a beautiful thing. She gave Jesus to us all. And listen, Mary endured much great pain watching her son that she loved so much be brutally murdered on the cross for us. She endured that pain. You see, God gave a great role to women to provide for humanity the ability to give birth. God gave a great role to you moms. And the ability to have babies is an amazing ability. But as we all know, that ability to have babies isn't your greatest responsibility. Motherhood is more than having a baby. Motherhood is responsibility. Raising those kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Giving birth is just the beginning, Kyla. There's a lot more to it, isn't there? And some of you moms have had your kids, as some of these moms, cause you pain, heartache, struggle. James David. You see, motherhood is giving life. Motherhood is giving hope. Motherhood is being captivating, to inspire with your inner beauty. Motherhood is risk-taking. Risk-taking. It's mentoring. Taking responsibility to teach others how to. Mentoring. That's what the church is for. Motherhood is being able to cut the cord and pray. Cut the cord. Let your child go and pray for them. And trust that the Lord is hearing those prayers for those children out there. Motherhood is bringing Jesus to many. Telling the guys this at men's breakfast, it's kind of hard for them to believe, and at the same time it's very sad. If you were to travel and go into churches around the nation, these churches that are about our size. You know, you realize the majority of churches are our size and even smaller. But if you go into those churches, there are no men except for the pastor and the secretary treasurer. That's it. The rest of them are women. It's a sad thing, isn't it? But I want to say to the ladies in this church, you provide strength that you don't realize. And I hope that you do. The ladies in this church have captivated their men to be here to work. Amen? Be strong. Did you know that Jesus, just like the disciples, there was a group of women that also traveled with His ministry? And the Scripture talks about how they provided the financial support in many ways for His ministry. Isn't that interesting? Women have been a huge part of the church that Jesus Christ put together. And motherhood is the important part of your life and of this church. And for this world to have you put babies out there is awesome. To raise up these kids. And today we say thank you. Thank you. Would you bow your heads? Maybe you're here today and you have felt the pain of motherhood. As we've read throughout the Scriptures, it's nothing new, but it's very real for you. And God wants to give you peace about that today. And He's hearing your prayer right now. He hears you. For your children, Father, you know the hearts that have broken through the years because of kids that are right here. And we ask you for peace. Peace. Fill their hearts to know that you hear their prayers for their kids. Save them. Bring them back. Make them strong in Christ. We believe you for that. And God, we pray over the kids of this church that, Father, you would protect them from the things of this world, the temptations, drugs, all of the addictive things that can so ruin and captivate our lives. We ask you, God, to protect our kids. Give these mothers wisdom and understanding, the ability to do what needs to be done in their personal lives, to be strong, to be courageous, to never give up, to always believe, always hope, and always love. Give these moms the strength and the ability to be captivating for their own husbands. And God, to do what you've called them to in this church. Thank you for these ladies today. Bless each and every one. And those who could not be here today, we pray for you to heal them and help them and encourage them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.